Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and you're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Craig Thompson grew up in rural Marathon, Wisconsin. In 2003, he published his graphic memoir, Blankets, about his early years as an adult. Blankets won numerous awards, and The Guardian called it one of the best graphic novels of all time. Now Craig is revisiting his Wisconsin ties again with a new comic book called Ginseng Roots. It's part memoir, part essay, and part travelogue. Craig explains why he wanted to write a comic book for the first time in his career.
But I'd never done anything that was just straight up nonfiction, like more essay-based or journalistic. So that was my first desire. Second desire was to write about plants, because we're living in this age of environmental crisis. What are the stories that the plants themselves have to convey to us? We're very human-centric, egocentric as storytellers and readers. Why does a human always have to be the center of a narrative? Why can't it be an animal or a plant?
Mm-hmm.
So those were the first two objectives. Meditating on what plant I had the most intimate relationship with, I realized I'd spent a decade of my childhood working in ginseng. And then as I started to think about that, I realized how unique and a little bit odd that was, that I grew up in this very small town, rural setting in the middle of Wisconsin.
Marathon, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, working with this sort of exotic medicinal plant. It's far more recognized in Asia and China than it is here. What are the odds, right?
Yeah.
And so at that point, I'm like, oh, I want to write about ginseng. That's going to be my nonfiction subject to explore in graphic novel form. And I really like the idea of expanding graphic novels so that it's not just superheroes, it's not just fantasy, it's not just YA stories. Why not write a nonfiction essay piece on a subject?
Ginseng Roots is your first serial comic book, which of course means that it's coming out in individual issues. Why did you want to tell the story in this format?
So part of that was midlife crisis. And, you know, when I was young and boisterous, I had a lot of energy for sitting down and drawing hundreds of pages in one go. And now that I'm in my mid-40s, the idea of maybe holding up for the next 6 years is very intimidating. I like the idea of getting it out there as I'm working on it, kind of involving the reader more. And because it's documentary work or journalistic, I feel like it's going to need additional fact-checking eyes. And by putting it out there while it's still malleable, it could be very useful. I might hear from people who correct some of the information in the book, or from people who might enhance the information of like, oh, I can tell you more about this subject. And that can lead to future issues or chapters.
So I guess given that, you don't know exactly how many issues this is going to end up being, right?
It's outlined to be 12, and I have those pretty tightly structured. There's an element of improv to it all, too, of like, oh, if something new comes up, that'll be the next issue. You know, I want there to be some flexibility. And I forgot to mention that there is childhood nostalgia involved, too.
As you point out in the first issue, weeding and picking ginseng served as a gateway to comic books for you and your brother Phil, didn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So the whole reason that we were working in ginseng is we wanted money for comic books. They were paying us $1 an hour when we started. I was 10 years old, and my brother Phil was 7. We'd work 40-hour weeks in the middle of our summers, and we were eager for it because $1 an hour meant one or one and a half comic books an hour, and that seemed fair to us.
Sure.
But as we were doing this menial farm labor, we were just dreaming of the days when we might one day be cartoonists.
And speaking of which, you're collaborating with your younger brother, Phil. Each issue of Ginseng Roots features one or two pages drawn by Phil. Why did you want to include his work?
There's a combination of midlife crisis and childhood nostalgia of like sort of the older I get, the more I sort of trip up on some of my childhood and how it's shaped me. And my brother has become a huge ally in sort of identifying and relating and healing those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No one else was as close to all those experiences as him. Yeah, I don't know if that happens for everybody. As your self-awareness grows with age, I mean, you're unpacking more and more childhood stuff. You know, your siblings become allies in that process. But also, like, that's when comics and drawing was the most pure for me, is when we were, like, that age, 10 years old, 7 years old, and just drawing on the same piece of paper together. You know, it was that sort of playful abandon of drawing at that age versus being an old, crusty man who's drawing as their job, their day job. You know, I want to get back to that pure, innocent place of drawing.
Mm-hmm. Picking ginseng isn't an easy thing to do. Can you talk a little bit about the actual process?
Yeah, so there's several processes. And looking back, I actually have to say that my brother and I did more of the easier work in a lot of ways. We did a lot of weed picking. That was our first job because it's a delicate crop. They haven't really created an automatic weeder yet. And these gardens, even in the 80s, were at least, you know, half acre, an acre, or 2 acres large. And then we would help farmers with rock picking, which was clearing a field of rocks before the crops were planted. In late summer, early fall, there was berry picking or seed picking, where you're just harvesting the seeds from the ginseng, which either go towards growing further crops or selling to other farmers. And then in fall is when the roots start coming out of the ground. And that's a more fun task because it's very social. You get in a crew of 30 to 40 people and you try to do it in a day. Once you've tilled up the ground and pulled the roots out of the soil, you got to get them out of there before the sun comes out. So those are the main tasks we helped with. And so, of course, you know, a high-risk crop. It turned a lot of farmers into millionaires.
Wow.
But it's very delicate crop, susceptible to disease and rot. And because you're taking at least 3 or 4 years to grow a crop, anything can happen in that time. You could have a crop that's perfect for 3 years. In the fourth year, it rots and you don't take anything out of the ground. So it's a pretty high gamble crop.
Yeah. I believe this is only your second book in which you've used color. And you've said that you think black and white is the purest way to express yourself. And yet you use black and this almost pinkish red to great effect in ginseng roots. I really was very impressed by that. Why did you decide to use this kind of pinkish red throughout the book?
And hopefully with the second and the further issues, it'll look more like an orange cadmium red. That was the look I was going for. And that's inspired a lot by traditional Chinese art printmaking. There's, of course, Hokusai, who's the Japanese printmaker, who is famous for that wave painting. He released a book, a several-volume set encyclopedia, visual encyclopedia, where the term manga came from. Those were woodblock prints that were like a black, a gray, and a reddish-orange ink. And there is something, it seems to be the sweet spot. My preference is towards black and white because it's sort of the closest to the author's handwriting. It's very pure.
Yeah.
But consumers like full color the most. And I think the additional one color is sort of the sweet spot because you can see the calligraphy of the artist's line, but there's a little bit more depth and dimension. You know, you can emphasize things. And actually, I'm finding with further issues, if you combine black and red, you have like a pretty infinite palette of sepia tones too that you can work with. So I'm finding it's almost like doing full color. There's less noise that color might create in the narrative.
That makes perfect sense. And the black and white, I can see why you'd prefer that because for my money, the black and white really shows just your masterful command of lines.
Thank you.
You're probably best known for your autobiographical graphic novel, Blankets, which was first published in 2003. For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with it, can you tell us a little bit about Blankets?
Yeah, so Blankets is it's essentially a coming-of-age story about sharing a bed with someone for the first time. When I set out to do the book, I thought it was going to be a kind of innocent romance story, innocent high school romance, where I write about that experience, but it's not really, you know, adult or sexual. It's something more innocent. But then I realized I'd also shared a bed much earlier with my little brother because we shared a bedroom and a bed and you know, all the antics that were involved with that of play and fights and et cetera, and how it nurtured a closeness between us. Meditating on those two different stories, I realized there was a book there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much about growing up in a small town in rural Wisconsin. It's about my relationship to my family's faith and sort of evangelical Christianity. It's about my relationship to creativity, sort of coming from a working class family.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in it, and it's very powerful. You've said that you want to be vulnerable on paper, and you're certainly very vulnerable in terms of the intimate details you share about yourself in Blankets. How difficult was it for you to reveal so much about yourself in Blankets? Was that something that you had to think about, and gee, I don't know if I should reveal this?
At that time, it wasn't too difficult because it was the beginning of my career, and I didn't have a sense of self-consciousness or audience yet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think people would see this book. I had only a couple of people in mind when I drew it, and that's still sort of the way I try to write my books, like have an audience of one or two people, as if you're writing a letter to someone. That's what keeps it intimate. So yeah, I didn't think anyone would see it. I certainly didn't think anyone from my hometown would see it. And that was a nice, naive, innocent space to produce from, which I'll probably never have again because now I'm too much aware of audience.
Mm.
So yeah, that's shifted. And maybe it's going to be a lot more complicated with Ginseng Roots because now I know there's more eyes on the project.
Does that mean it's kind of a struggle to maintain the intimacy and just imagine just a few readers? Has it become more difficult now in the wake of the success of Blankets?
It definitely is. I had a conversation with a cartoonist friend recently where he thought that doing auto-bio comics, as we call them, is maybe a cop-out. It's easy. He's like, I feel like that's easy for the artist, but less fun for the reader. And I argued that it's the other way around. I think for the reader, it's really fun to read auto-bio. I love reading. It's almost like a voyeuristic thing to read other people's personal stories in that form.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of challenges as an author. With Blankets, I found depicting myself was easy enough because I can do whatever I want with myself. I can be as self-deprecating as possible. But there's so many sensitivities around depicting other people. One thing that's helping this new project is it's more journalistic. So it's not really just cobbled together from my memories. I'm going and meeting with these people and recording interviews like we're doing now. Not this professional. I record usually with voice memos on my phone and then transcribe all of that. So they are words coming straight from the people's mouths, and that helps.
Craig Thompson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
Craig Thompson is an award-winning graphic novelist and the author of the new comic book, Ginseng Roots. You can find out more about Craig and Ginseng Roots at wpr.org/beta. That does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Noah Hawley, Hurry Kondabolu, and Craig Thompson. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week.
All it takes is a phone and an open mind.
Online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Why aren't you calling?
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions. Special thanks to Rob Menser.
Very nice, Rob. A sly declaration of new classic status slipped into a list of old safe ones.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
I like the way the world looks from a bicycle. And I guess I'm just looking for someone who feels the same way I do about a bicycle.
Our executive producer, nay, showrunner, is Adam Friedrich.
Don't blame me. I'm not an executive, just a writer.
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
His favorite movie is books.